Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about the ongoing taxpayer costs of the non-citizen migrant issues and Republicans looking for transparency and a proposal at the Illinois State House that could impact how you get your news online. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop.
Do you know what elected officials in Illinois are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want to make sure that your voice is heard? If so, then you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch how your elected officials make decisions, hold them accountable for their actions, and be a more informed citizen. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to get involved in the democratic process and to make a difference in your community. Subscribe today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here are some of the top stories from the past week. The Illinois Senate Minority Leader said Governor J.B. Pritzker's exploited emergency powers and refuses to answer questions about how much money is being spent on migrant services. Katrina Peterson has more.
Senate Minority Leader John Curran said Pritzker has circumvented traditional transparency and procurement procedures.
These gimmicks and loopholes make it impossible to know exactly how many tax dollars are being spent on the migrant crisis he created.
Curran said a Republican bill, if passed, would force the state agencies to show how much state taxpayer money is being spent on Chicago and would hopefully inspire Chicago to pass an ordinance to be transparent with their residents on how they spend what the state gives them. Pritzker said spending is being done in a cost-efficient manner.
My family arrived here with nothing. They were refugees. It was a social service agency that gave them a place to live when they first arrived in Chicago.
The Republican bill would require the Illinois Department of Human Services to submit a report to the General Assembly detailing their spending on or before November 15th of 2024. I'm Katrina Peterson.
A proposal in Illinois to have social media companies pay media outlets that link to their content is being called a link tax by some, but fair compensation by others. Senate Bill 3591 would set up a structure for news media outlets to negotiate with social media companies to require the platforms to pay for when stories are linked and clicked through. Proponents say it's fair compensation. Opponents call it a link tax. Sponsor of the measure, Democratic State Senator Steve Stottleman, said it's not a link tax.
They have news content on their feeds. They attract advertising dollars. They get personal information for people that go on their sites. But however, they don't compensate local news publishers who create the content.
Republican State Senator Neil Anderson said there are other ways to help out local journalism with tax credits, but he called Stottleman's measure, quote, socialism.
So it is, in fact, a tax on Meta or Google because they're not gaining anything by putting it up there, and they're just going to stop doing it.
The measure remains in committee. Those are the top stories from the past week from Illinois. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, a production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Tired of being in the dark about what happens day to day under the dome in Springfield? Do you want to be more informed in the decision-making process? If so, you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch elected officials in action, holding them accountable, and having your say on issues that matter most to you. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to stay informed about Illinois state government and to be a more engaged citizen. Become a subscriber today at blueroomstream.com.
Greetings and welcome to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at the Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. We are recording this on Thursday, March 7th. The Chicago Teachers Union is preparing for new contract negotiations with the city. CTU's current collective bargaining agreement with the city expires in June. And if a summary of the proposals obtained by the Illinois Policy Institute and comments made this week by Chicago Teachers Union President Stacy David Gates are to be believed, Chicago taxpayers could be on the hook for significant new costs. Joining me to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Capital Bureau Senior Reporter and Editor. Greg, tell us about what we reported at thecentersquare.com this week.
Yeah, so Stacey Davis Gates, the Chicago Teachers Union president, spoke to the City Club of Chicago and the issue of the collective bargaining agreement and the discussions between the city and the union came up, where she tossed the number out, $50 billion. And she said that we're asking you to give us an opportunity to tell our story. It'll cost $50 billion and 3 cents. Now, whether or not she was joking or if that's going to be the actual cost of the contract, I guess we'll see when the details come out. But as you know, Dan, covering government for as long as you have and as long as I have, these contract negotiations are behind closed doors, and we may see some proposals leak out from time to time. A lot of the details tend to stay close to the vest before they're actually finalized.
And what makes these negotiations unique, maybe is the word to use, is that Chicago's mayor, the school district, the union, negotiates with the city. And Chicago's mayor is a former, is a close ally of the Chicago Teachers Union. Used to work there. The Chicago Teachers Union during last year's campaign largely financed Mayor Brandon Johnson's campaign. So they're close. How does that impact negotiations between the CTU and the city, do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely there seems to be the question of and a cloud of, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours, right? I mean, the CTU helped out Johnson in his reelection or in his election campaign to become the mayor. So people are asking that legitimate question of, is the mayor going to give CTU what they want because they backed him politically in that contested election? So clearly there's a lot of economic impact of this particular upcoming contract that's going to directly impact taxpayers. But you've also got to think about what the outcomes have been thus far. And when it comes to, you know, evaluations of students' progress in reading and math, there's a lot of Chicago schools right now where children just are not performing at grade level on a whole host of different topics. So whether or not you have an increased contract with a whole host of benefits going to teachers, is that actually going to lead to better outcomes for the students? Some people may continue to be skeptical on that.
You're exactly right. In fact, there have been multiple studies that show that there's numerous schools within the Chicago School District that have no students reading or doing math at grade level. Let's talk about a couple of the details that were in this draft contract proposal that the Illinois Policy Institute got its hand on. They include pay raises that meet or exceed inflation. Of course, inflation over the last few years, dating back to the last contract, the cost of everything has gone up significantly. Some costs up 20% during that time. And this was a strange one. Money for teacher housing assistance in the city. Greg, tell us about that.
Yeah, so what we have is this idea of Bring Chicago Home, which, by the way, a district judge said that can't be on the ballot. But this week, a appeals judge apparently put it back on the ballot. So the Bring Chicago Home ballot initiative would add some more taxation on the sale of certain real estate. And the mayor has said that he's hoping to use that money for addressing homelessness. But there could be a push with what's been revealed in the documents that Illinois Policy obtained. There could be a push to have some kind of housing type of benefits that Chicago teachers may try to get into this contract. So that's one element of this proposal that seems to stick out quite a bit.
Greg, I want to also take a look at some current statistics before a new contract is negotiated. WirePoints, a Chicago-based government watchdog group, put out some specific data in response to this leaked contract document and Gates's comments. The average teacher salary in Chicago currently, this is not the high end, it's the average teacher salary, is currently just shy of $100,000 annually at $97,757. The average second-year teacher, so a young, inexperienced teacher, is already at $72,888 dollars. By comparison, I'm talking about this $97,757 figure, which the average CPS teacher makes. By comparison, New York City pays new teachers $55,700. So that would be compared to the $72,888 in Chicago. After the last contract in 2019, that was the last time the teachers union negotiated with the city of Chicago, teacher pay went up 24%. That's pretty significant. So you have to think they're going to be asking for at least something similar. When you factor in inflation, they might be looking for something even more than that. That spells high costs for taxpayers, I think.
Yeah, and is the taxpayer getting a good bang for the buck, right? I mean, if you look at statewide, the average cost per pupil in Illinois, it's about $16,000. Now, if you go down south in Illinois, you might find a school district that costs $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 per student. But in Chicago, it's upwards to $20,000 plus maybe $30,000 per pupil. You can imagine that those costs would definitely increase if indeed they get a drastic increase in pay for teachers. While you've also got to consider the facilities, well, they have to divert some maintenance or push off updates to the facilities if indeed they're having to increase pay considerably. So there's a lot of economic factors they've got to work in whenever they're having these ongoing conversations.
Well, listeners can keep up with developments on these ongoing negotiations at thecentersquare.com. In other news this week, State Representative Ryan Spain, a Republican from Peoria, he's joining forces with former Democratic Governor Pat Quinn. They're introducing a constitutional amendment aimed at overhauling the state's ethic laws. The measure is House Joint Resolution Constitutional Amendment 19. Tell us about what the resolution would do if it passes.
So this measure ultimately would allow for citizens to have more say in ballot initiatives. As it is right now, a lot of the ballot initiatives that are attempted from the citizen, they get blocked. And what they're wanting to do is to make that process easier so that people can actually, you know, bring up legislation and laws that they feel would better suit their needs, especially when it comes to ethics. So Pat Quinn has for years, I mean, he became governor because of a huge ethics scandal back in 2009, if you recall. Yep. Former Democrat Governor Rob Blagojevich, during the transition of U.S. Senator Barack Obama becoming president, that opened up Illinois' Senate seat, and federal prosecutors ultimately convicted Blagojevich of corruption around what they said was Blagojevich trying to benefit personally from selling the open Senate seat. Well, after Blagojevich was arrested, ultimately that opened up that seat, and the lieutenant governor at that time, Pat Quinn, became governor. And he did say that he was able to get some ethics reforms at that time. But of course, he also pointed to during his tenure as governor, somebody else was a very powerful figure in Illinois, and that was former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. So while Quinn says back then in 2008, 9, 10, and on, until Quinn was beat by former Governor Bruce Rauner in 2014, Quinn said that he had a hard time even getting Mike Madigan to recognize the need for ethics. But now, with the looming trial of Madigan on a nearly 10-year-long bribery scheme, you've got the ongoing calls for more ethics reforms. So Quinn joined a Democrat with Republican Ryan Spain, state representative, to bring this measure forward, to try to get it in front of the legislature so that they can approve it to allow for citizens to have better access to bringing ballot initiatives for things like ethics reforms, things like conflicts of interest updates, things like a revolving door ban, or a variety of other efforts to shore up ethics in Illinois state government. But there is a deadline to do this. They've got to have this all together if they want to get it onto the November ballot by a certain amount of time. So they're putting the pressure on. And Governor Quinn was in Springfield earlier this week meeting with the Speaker of the House. So we'll see if this measure actually does get a hearing and whether or not it's actually going to move forward. But a lot of people waiting to see if there's going to be ethics being addressed during spring session here in Springfield.
So they're trying to get the legislature to put it on the ballot. This is not like a signature drive, a citizens initiated initiative. Is that right?
Yeah. So ultimately, it would have to go through the legislature. A constitutional amendment would have to pass both chambers with supermajorities before it can be placed on the ballot for voters.
Well, given that former House Speaker Madigan's trial begins in October now, about a month before voters go to the polls to elect these very same representatives, you would think there would be interest in getting some sort of an ethics package approved by this legislature. But you, Greg, you and I, we've been covering Illinois government for quite a while now. And while that might seem like you would think it would happen, sometimes you know better because it hasn't happened.
Well, I asked the chair of the House Elections and Ethics Committee, State Representative Maurice West, and I asked him if ethics are going to be an issue that's going to be discussed. Because as of right now, the House Committee on Ethics and Elections really is just focused on elections and you know, various things that they're thinking of possibly doing, like, you know, expanding mail-in voting and whatnot. But I asked him, with the cloud of the Madigan trial later this year, with the ComEd 4 being found guilty, with Tim Mapes being found guilty and sentenced to 2.5 years, are we going to see some discussions about ethics reforms? And West told me that, indeed, he's got his own ethics bills, and they will have hearings on ethics reforms in the spring session. But when that happens, we've got a March primary just around the corner. Is it going to wait until after then? We'll see. I mean, they're back next week, so we'll see if any committee action takes up any ethics reforms, including this possible constitutional amendment.
I'm sorry, Greg, one final question on this. Has Governor J.B. Pritzker weighed in on this movement yet?
I've not had the opportunity to ask him about this, but I know that some Democrats in the past have said, you know, a lot of ethics reforms have been approved, like, for instance, making sure that there is some kind of revolving door ban, though it's a weak revolving door ban, Republicans say. But ultimately, some leading Democrats have said in the past that these things are already illegal where people are being caught, like Madigan, allegedly, and like Mapes and the ComEd 4 being found guilty. They say that the laws are already on the books to hold people accountable for these things. So we'll see if there's going to be a true effort to shore up ethics reforms while they have the ongoing questions of, you know, whether or not they're going to see these things come to fruition.
Well, moving on, Greg, while Super Tuesday is now behind us and President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump appear to be on a collision course for a rematch of 2020, Illinois' Democratic and Republican primaries are still ahead of us. They're scheduled for March 19th. And while there are a handful of potentially competitive primary races on the ballot, what really sticks out more is the lack of true competition across the state. We wrote about that at thecentersquare.com. Greg, tell us more.
This is something that we take a look at a lot with the elections that we have. And it's pretty amazing to consider that more than half of the seats that are up for grabs in the Illinois House and more than half of the seats that are up for grabs in the Illinois Senate. The party is already determined. And looking at the numbers of the seats, you know, you might have three Democrats vying for a House seat, but there's no Republican that filed in that district. Same thing for the Republicans. There are fewer districts of Republicans that are already determined to be the victor in that particular race, but there's still districts around the state where there's no Democrat running in that primary. So really, the primary before we get to the November election is an indication of just how uncompetitive these districts are. So think about that. In more than 50% of the state house districts across the state, voters don't really have a choice. And that is something that political experts believe leads to voter apathy.
Right.
That is something that political experts believe is not good for governing. And it's something else, too, that highlights Illinois' map making process, where we have, according to national groups, a gerrymandered map that really didn't take into account the needs of the people and instead took into account the needs for those in political power. So unfortunately, those going to the polls for the primary, they may find themselves without a real choice in the legislative district that they reside in.
Yeah, and you could argue too, Greg, that all of the corruption that we, I mean, a couple stories here focused on corruption, all the corruption in Illinois could stem from this lack of competition, right? Voters don't have a choice. Incumbents are inherently getting reelected year in and year out because of the map-making process. There have been efforts in the past to take the map-making process out of the hands of politicians and put it into independent panels. None of that's been successful because essentially government officials have fought against that. Any chance for renewed efforts there?
And it, well, that was something that was brought up when former Governor Quinn and State Representative Ryan Spain held their news conference. And I asked Spain about that specifically because he does have that proposed constitutional amendment filed this year. He said that he thinks it's important, especially with as uncompetitive as the elections are, there needs to be an independent map making commission to oversee these maps before they get put into place for the next 10 years. Now, we don't have that happening again until 2031, but the state legislature could possibly come about and realize that they need some kind of true map making oversight to ensure that we have competition. Because when you have, you know, a government that is supposed to represent the people, it gets more increasingly difficult to say that they are truly representing the people when voter turnout may be low, or voters are just apathetic because they go to the polls and they only see one choice, or they only see one party being represented. So there's going to have to be a lot of, in a way, legitimacy reinvigorated within state government, especially after looking at these races and how uncompetitive they really are.
New maps are drawn every 10 years after the U.S. Census is updated, so we'll wait and see what happens there. Greg, just a couple minutes left for one last story. Governor Pritzker wants to divert $175 million in state taxpayer money meant for road and bridge repairs and pour it into Chicago's public transportation system. The proposal isn't going over well in large parts of the state. Why not?
So if you recall, back in 2019, there was the Rebuild Illinois program that was bipartisan. Republicans and Democrats voted on this, and it doubled the gas tax. It increased gas taxes every year linked to inflation. It did a whole bunch of other things with gambling revenue, and it was meant to spend $40+ billion on roads and bridges and even on public buildings across the state. So a multi-year plan, and the various engineering groups supported that effort, gave them the opportunity to, you know, have these jobs and to work on these projects. But the governor's proposal here would take some of that road money and shift it to public transit up in the Chicagoland area for things like buses or for Metra. And what's interesting is the American Council on Engineering Companies of Illinois, they say that that could lead, even though it's $170 million of a shift in money, it could actually lead to $1 billion over several years of lost work that should be done on things like the network of roads and bridges. But we also have a comment from the Chicago Transit Authority, which said that they need the money. They have deficits. They need to address the things that they've got going on. But one thing that's clear is ridership. Still very much an issue. You've got the Chicago Transit Authority saying that ridership topped 1 million for 27 days last year, but numbers are still over 50% short of pre-pandemic levels. Again, shifting money to a transit authority that doesn't have a huge ridership while diverting money from road projects across the state. Obviously, you've got a lot of pushback on that idea and other proposals in the governor's budget. So it's just a proposal at this point, but they've got until May 31st to approve some kind of plan in order to get it across the finish line with simple majorities for the budget year that begins July 1st. And this budget proposal that the governor has is the most expensive budget in Illinois state history, which includes, by the way, just to also put this in there, it includes almost $1 billion of proposed tax increases.
As usual, Greg, thank you for your insight. Listeners can keep up with this story and more at thecentersquare.com. For Greg Bishop, I'm Dan McCaleb.